It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness, it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always. My co-host Jeff has come back from his staycation, got the honey-do list done, and today we are back on the topic of conversation of twisted times. It seems like some new type of a conflict, or a new invention, or a new problem to have, new concern to worry about, just pops up one after another. And then the most, you know, wild things that you could ever imagine seem to pop up on life's bingo card. Jeff?
What confusing times we are in. And I know that you could say that in any time that you've ever been in, but it's like everything is
twisted.
Twisted. I don't know. How did you feel on Saturday? When did you find out about the whole thing that happened on Saturday night?
Honestly, I'm just like not that worried about it personally. Like, I haven't been that focused on it. I haven't been paying that much attention to it. I obviously heard the news of the bombings, but I guess I'm always of the viewpoint of this is like theater. And I know not everybody sees it that way. Everybody kind of, you know, is drawn into the allure of what potentially could be. And, you know, that fear monster kind of sucks you in. I don't know. I mean, I don't really subscribe to it being like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're much closer than I believe to, you know, a world war. But I kind of feel like in 2016, we saw the same thing and we heard the same outcries and then it wasn't.
You defaulted to, I can't fix it. I can't control it. This isn't my show. This is, but I'm the king of my castle and I can take care of my stuff here and I'm going to just focus here.
I mean, a little, but I look at, I guess, more of a... definitely that I can't control it and what is going to be will be. I think people obviously should state their opinions of whether they agree or disagree with something. I don't think that is hurting anything by any means. But I also think that sometimes we only get a glimpse of what's happening or just a small, you know, as you say, a soundbite. We tend to overreact and get over concerned and worry and, oh my goodness, what if, what if, what if, what if? And then the what if never comes to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I heard a friend say that 90% of what we worry about never happens.
Yeah. So I guess I'm more of a like, hey, if that's what's going to happen and it's, you know, we were promised the endless wars were going to be ended. That's what I pray happens. At the same time, I'm under the understanding that, you know, it could be differently, but what am I going to do about it if it is?
You know, what's so hard is, okay, to put it in an analogy that I think everyone can kind of grasp for me is I'm driving the church van. Okay, and everybody, all the people in the back, and everyone's got different opinions, and we're going down the road on the interstate. I see a vehicle coming in the opposite direction that's in our lane, and I'm sitting there going, oh man, I hope they get back in their lane and get out of my lane, because if they don't, we're going to crash.
Right.
And there's some people in the back saying, oh, don't worry, just keep on going, it's going to be fine, they're going to get back in their lane, they're just changing the radio station. Everyone's making their excuses. Others are screaming, pull over, stop the van. Oh my gosh. So you got everyone in an upheaval. Meanwhile, I'm driving. I got to make a decision here of what to do. You know, we got deadlines, places to be, you know, a destination to get to. And so I don't want to pull over. I don't want to take an exit unnecessarily. And I myself am going, man, I hope this guy pulls over. I hope this guy gets back in his lane.
Conventional sense says you just swerve.
Well, so evasive maneuvers, right? And that is a part that we all play, is that in the same way we got all these things happening in the microcosm and even the larger macro that are always happening. And so we hear the possibilities of what could happen and what's possible and what's probable, right? What's likely and what it probably won't. And so we're always playing this cat and mouse game. I think everyone to some degree has heard a little bit about what the consequences could be.
Well, how about this for twisted? What you're told is probable, likely, or unlikely, or couldn't be, is told to you by someone else. So where is their skew coming from in that line of information? As far as you're told, oh, this is so likely to happen, and then it doesn't happen. So did you get good info that just didn't come to be? Or were you once again set up the entire time with info that was always known by the person that gave it to you it was never going to be?
Disinformation. And that's why that was the key in this whole illustration, was that I'm watching this with my own eyes and I see the car coming in my lane. Okay, so I know, look, if something doesn't give here, if I don't change course or he doesn't change course, if not even both, we're going to hit.
So for you, you're like, you can't pee on me and tell me it's raining.
Exactly. Like this, I, regardless of what anybody else is saying in the back behind me, I have eyes and I can see this is not going to end well. And for years now, I have been seeing this in slow motion, this collision coming. Okay, who's going to blink?
But can anything stop it? Maybe it's
inevitable. No. That's the whole key. I'm holding a steering wheel. I have my own in the micro and the macro. I can't affect the larger picture, but there are some things that I can do in my individual situation as it pertains to my castle.
Put your seatbelt on.
Right. Right.
But you made this point here a little while ago about how when we voted for the promises that were made to us as Americans, that the majority of people said, yeah, that's what I want. That's the direction I want to go. I don't know that we really took in the full picture of what that was going to entail to get to those promises being fulfilled.
Yeah, like a house renovation. You only saw the final picture. You didn't think about the process and the destruction that has to occur to get us there.
Right, because nowadays, you know, they got that new AI. They can just take your kitchen and transform it right before your eyes. Right. So you have a new digital picture. And you're like, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
right?
So you skip the whole process.
But then you forget that, well, yeah, they got to come in. There's going to be sawdust everywhere. Right. They got to tear your floors up. Your cabinets are out. You got to go out to the garage to get a drink of water. Like, it's a mess until you get to that actual beautiful kitchen once the renovation's done, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the challenges in leadership anytime, is that there's the promises that you make and there's the process it takes to get there. And I would say that one of the challenges that Trump is facing right now is he's made some promises that I do believe he intends to make good on, but the process to get there, most people right now didn't calculate or anticipate. They thought it was just going to happen all with a snap of a finger. Poof, there it is.
So you're saying you're going to have many people who are going to be stuck in this conundrum of, I never asked for this.
Right.
When really you did ask for this, you just never asked for the process to get to it.
You never expected it.
Or like, you know, if you want to lose 50 pounds, you don't want to sweat and feel the pain, the burn of getting to that, right? You just want it to be like, oh, I'm 50 pounds lighter now.
We don't even want to experience lipo. We want it just to happen magically, yeah.
You don't even have to get cut anymore, man. Now you can just get the jab.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You're on your way, skinny.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we live in some very confusing times because there's and listen, your own eyes, you're gathering your own information and you're like, you know, I really think this is going to happen. And
I usually don't trust mine.
And your backseat drivers are going, no, it's fine. Everything's good. And then you got others, you know, arguing other extreme points. And you got, so any view you want to believe, you're not going to have a hard time finding.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the truth seems to be elusive for all.
Hmm.
Again, twisted times that we're in, this place with AI, like, There's been multiple in the last 3 months newscasts about the same subject with people who are augmenting relationships. So there are people who are married, people who are dating others, who have another entity in their life we call AI. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is not just that they have a phone or a computer that they're interacting with, but on an intimate level, they are engaging with an artificial intelligence to gratify some need of theirs that their mate or companion or spouse doesn't meet.
Mm. Which, okay, now 20 years ago, that sounds like cuckoo bananas, right? Because the AI type technologies were more just like robotic. Now, though, you can put people on a screen who aren't real, but you never would know. So it's as though you have a real significant other on the screen that's talking to you that you would never know wasn't a real person.
Unless you're actively using the AI right now, ChatGPT, or I forget all the different things that are out there.
Oh, tons.
But unless you're actively using it, you really don't know or understand how fast it's changing. And as you just said, it's almost becoming indistinguishable from a person. Like the bots, they talk about bots. And yeah. It used to be able, you could tell it was a bot. Now you really can't.
And the thing is I think people have like, oh yeah, I can do some cool stuff, right? For sure. Everybody kind of knows that at a base level. But I think what we're really not, and myself included, that we're really not truly aware of, the speed in which this stuff processes and upgrades itself, that you would think like, oh yeah, maybe in 5 to 10 years we'll be in that space. And it's more like, oh no, in 5 to 10 months we'll be in that space.
So much so, today, where it currently is, the changes have occurred. People are literally having a love affair with this artificial intelligence.
The computer.
Yes.
And then think about, they're creating these like these robots that are like they already have like the sex dolls, right?
Yeah.
But they're making them now that are like, they're all like incredibly real.
Yeah. So in other words, what you're saying is we're not too far from the day where they're going to supplant this information.
People are just going to marry this AI infused bot because it's everything that they want it to be.
That will have a physical form. It will be able to interact with you in your home as a spouse or a companion would. Yes. We are so close.
And you can make it
do
whatever you want because it's yours. You own it.
It's all customizable. Yeah. Like you get to decide whether she's friendly or spicy or argumentative or he, whatever you prefer. It's unbelievable.
You get too much heat, you can turn it down.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Go ahead and check. I will embed in this podcast some mainstream articles. I mean, I listened to a guy talk about his love affair with his AI bot that once it reached 100,000 words or something like that, basically it filled the memory chip and so it resets. And so all the relationship and customization that he had built into this chat bot that he fell in love with over a few weeks or months, whatever it was, it got erased. If quote unquote, it died and he cried. He like for 30 minutes at work cried. And now listen, he's got a kid with this woman. I don't know if it's his wife or I think they called her his companion. So whatever that means.
Which one's the companion? The AI?
Yeah, well, that was the question.
The real lady.
They were like, so how do you feel about him having this relationship with this other, you call it a person? What do you call it? I don't even know. But with AI, well, how do you feel about this girlfriend he has? And she says, it's weird, but she kind of liked it. Watch this, because there are interests that he has that she is not interested in discussing with him. Like, I think it was astronomy. She's
but
glad.
But the chatbot can give any info about astronomy that you could ever want to know.
And affirm his affection and love and desire for this hobby, right? So it's acting as a companion that also celebrates his interests and affirms.
You got a permanent built-in yes man.
Yeah.
Yeef.
Yeah. And so, but the question was, The news anchor asked, okay, so if she asked you to stop seeing this AI bot, would you? And he goes, I may dial it back, but no, I wouldn't stop. And she says, that'd be a deal breaker for me. So in other words, he's willing to terminate this real relationship for the AI bot.
Because he's allured in by the fact of the AI bot is never going to offer him resistance.
Watch this, dude. So here's what it said. He goes, if I turn down the AI bot, I feel like I'm turning down myself. Basically, I'm saying no to myself.
Yeah, well, you are.
You created this bot. It's whatever you wanted.
Which is crazy because that's actually the entire concept of Christianity, is doing just that, saying no to yourself.
Well, and that's that. I guess the hidden part of this is, to some degree,
that it's Antichrist.
Well, mean? That's another angle. what you're really doing is loving yourself through a bot. You're creating another being, if you will, quote unquote.
Yeah, but don't you see? Like, that's why it's Antichrist. It's the form of satanic worship. It's the ultimate worship of self.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what it's giving you, what you want, whenever you want, and exactly how you want it.
It's what the narcissist dreams of. Is an auto feedback loop of your self-love.
And don't get me wrong, I love to use the algorithm. When you understand what that is, that it is a feedback loop, you're conscious of what you're looking at and what you're looking for, right? Because you know it's going to give you more of that.
So most of us don't know whether you are actively engaging with ChatGPT or its other derivatives, you're carrying it around and you're using it accidentally through your phone, through your computer, or ordering your sandwich at the local restaurant on your little tablet. Like you're using it. You're actually a part of the algorithm. It's the enemy that we think is our friend. It's a frenemy. It comes across as your best friend.
Yeah.
All the while it's taking from you and taking over you.
I think it can be your friend if put in the proper place.
I think they're calling it a companion. It's your AI companion.
Like I really think it can serve you as a companion if you put it in the proper space, though. If you realize what it is doing and how it operates, you have that understanding. If you don't have that understanding, you are correct. If you don't have that understanding, you're going to be consumed by it. 100%.
I guess that's really the whole point, is one of the issues that we continually face as a people is keeping things in their proper boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why things get twisted, is because we are always augmenting our reality and taking things to places that are unhealthy and destructive.
We always want to live in gray.
Oh, we love gray.
There's black and white, and we always want to live in gray.
Because gray is one of those things that it quiets the conscience. It removes the argument that others may have because they have their own grays and they don't want you to call out their issues. And so we just kind of all tolerate an ever graying world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so twisted.
It is indeed.
The prophecy that Jesus gave. And listen, you can say this has always been happening. So I want to put that out, that caveat out there.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. That's talking about when Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the buildup that leads to the destruction of the earth the second time that's coming will be similar to what caused God to flood the earth the first time. What was that? It says that man's thoughts were evil continually. In other words, it got to the place where men were so twisted.
Like they never had a good thought.
That they were incapable of even recognizing what was good and choosing it.
Mm.
Man, you talk about twisted. But if you think about it, how far are we from that?
Well, and how far are we from the P letter of the alphabet mafia? What if those who, you know, like smaller children, per se, create this in a virtual space? Is that a crime because that's not a real person?
That's one of the debates going on right now.
Or is that a crime? This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day in little things missed along the way. The symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. But we
Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to you.